Welcome to Unpacking the Digital Shelf, where we explore brand manufacturing in the digital age. Hey everyone, Peter Crosby coming to you from the Digital Shelf Institute's Cape Cod office. Justin King, the DSI's B2B whisperer, joins us from Maryland. Hey Justin, welcome back to the pod.
Thank you. It's great to be back under these circumstances, talking about the new normal in B2B.
I mean, it's perfect time to have you on just to hear what's been going on the ground in B2B land during these times. You know, I'm sure like with everyone else, there's challenges and opportunities. Love to hear about it. What's top of mind for you?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's exactly what it is, Peter. It's about challenges and opportunities. There was a recent Digital Commerce 360 article that really kind of traced four different distributors: Grainger, MSC, Watsco, and Systemax. So interesting. So Grainger, MSC, and Systemax are very similar companies. They sell very similar products. They really sell for MRO, maintenance, repair, operations, and industrial supplies. For those that don't know Systemax, they run a site called globalindustrial.com. So the four of the real top distributors, we can all see that industrial and commercial kind of got killed by COVID. I mean, while these are all essential businesses, a lot of the products production still stopped in industrial and commercial. Obviously, we know what's happened with commercial and commercial real estate. It's just not being utilized, right? So Grainger's e-com first quarter grew 7.2% to $2 billion, which I think is very impressive.
It's impressive $2 billion. Because the supply chains, as you said, have been affected. Like the product they can get in has been affected. So the fact that they're growing in the face
That's
of it
right.
seems impressive.
Well, and I think it speaks to, in this case, I think it speaks to Grainger's depth and breadth of products. Because they're not serving a specific industry. So just because commercial and industrial might have been down, they had other products to kind of fill in the gap.
Right.
MSC, on the other hand, did $478 million, but they were down almost 4%. So Grainger up, MSC down. Systemax, similar company, their web sales declined about 2%. So in general, in the MRO industrial supply, it's down. I mean, it's not down 20%, it's mm-hmm. down a couple points, right? Which is good to hear. Watsco, on the other hand, Watsco serves the HVAC industry, the HVAC industry, heating, ventilation, air conditioning is HVAC. And Watsco's, their digital grew 12% in the last quarter to $363 million, with their total sales growing 8%. So total sales grew 8%, and digital grew 12%. And now digital is now 36% of their business. And what I think, you know, their business being not, most companies were classified as essential, but when you think of HVAC, it really is essential. Like heating problems, cooling problems didn't stop during this time. In fact, a lot of people were probably at home and doing some repairs to things to make sure that their home life was comfortable. In general, I think too, there's some indicators that there's some positivity, at least in the residential side. So U.S. new home sales actually increased by almost 1% in April. So in March, they were down 13%. So new home sales, this is building new houses. Building new houses grew in April. They were down 13% in March. But new home sales accounted for all the growth in home sales in April. This is a leading indicator on what's going to happen down the road, 3 or 4 months down the road. Obviously, you have commercial decreasing, industrial probably increasing, and residential increasing. Those industries that serve those residential new home type purchases, you know, are likely to see a increase over the next few months.
I also wonder specifically in HVAC, whether buildings, you know, office buildings will be, you know, refreshing their filtration systems and all
that.
That's
a good point. Yeah, no, absolutely. And refreshing. And then I think along with that, you know, we're going to start seeing as the states open up, we're about to see janitorial and sanitation called JanSan in the industry. We're going to see probably a pretty big uptick in those areas. And so Grainger MSC provide JanSan materials, but then there are JanSan distributors, JanSan manufacturers, and most of them are preparing for a pretty big surge over the next couple months as offices need to clean, hospitals need to clean, schools need to clean, government buildings need to clean. Those are the specific areas where the we're going to see the biggest rise. But a lot of these distributors are still saying, listen, it's not business as usual. It used to be come to the branch, get a donut, get some coffee, get your product, right? That's not the way it is anymore. And now it's, hey, you gotta buy, and you can't buy from the branch directly because you can't go into the branch. It's pick up at the curb. So it's buy online, pick up at branch, or pick up on curb at the branch. And a lot of distributors, Peter, I mean, we're still in the same spot, right? A lot of distributors are still in that same spot of not having prepared a digital awareness to be able to serve customers in this way. So a lot of companies are now scrambling.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you know, on the B2C side, Rob and I have been talking about it last few episodes, and, you know, that sort of estimate that digital has taken a 5-year leap in a matter of months. You know, what's your view on what's happening among distributors and their industrial suppliers? Is there a similar thing happening, and do you think it will last?
Yeah, I think 5 to 8 years of acceleration in 5 to 8 months is probably a little bit of an exaggeration, but go to 12 months. I mean, I think it's become the number one priority, digital transformation, right? And digital transformation is not just about e-commerce. It's about, like, how do we enable our companies digitally? Well, here's a side thing that's happened, especially in distributors and manufacturers. Work from home, crush them, right? Because no manufacturer, no distributor was set up to be able to work from home.
Yeah.
And all of their systems, like their ERP, their most important system, was behind a firewall inside of their company. Like, literally the only way you could access it before was to be inside of the building that you're in or have some kind of VPN tunnel. Now you have a whole company go work from home, and you have to set up all these kind of private networks for employees to be able to access all this information internally. I mean, companies, help desk, IT departments, were just crushed by this. So when I talk about digital transformation, I'm not just talking about e-commerce. I'm talking about digital transformation, transforming the entire company to be enabled by digital so that things like work from home are easier to transition to. We're going to see work from home become a Y2K like preparedness event over the next 18 months, where companies realize, like, we cannot go through that again. We've got to be prepared. Our systems need to be prepared so that our employees can access this wherever they're at. And I think we're going to see that type of preparedness, and that's where digital transformation sits in the work from home preparedness, in the ability to give customers self-service access to their information, to limit this, the person-to-person contact that happens so much. I mean, you think about even just phone systems, Peter. Like, we do most of our work through our cell phones. I don't have an extension at Salsify or anything like that. But most manufacturers, most distributors, I mean, phone and fax and paper, I mean, that's what happened. Like, people were literally taking printers home to their homes, wow, taking fax machines home to them, and so this whole work from home preparedness about digital transformation, involves communication, involves, your products and where they're at and how we sell them, and how we inform people about shipping. I mean, it's just the whole gamut.
And when you think about, you spoke when you started this, talking about this, that that there's the shift is definitely happening. When you think about who had to move off of their long held positions that these things weren't necessary, like, what's the dynamic of that power shift? Is it CEOs waking up and saying, enough of this sort of debate about whether we need to do this. Clearly we do. Like, what's happening inside the rooms?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think I don't know too many CEOs that didn't believe this. They just didn't know how to do it. I know lots of middle managers that didn't believe it or held those close positions. In my experience, people that hold very closed, closed-minded viewpoints tend to hold on to them no matter the facts given to them. So I don't know if that changes.
No idea
that.
What you're talking about.
But it changes organizations, right? So yeah. I think you're seeing groundswell things where every part of the company. I did a talk about digital transformation and change management a couple months ago before all this hit. And what I said to them was, this is a very large distributor. What I said to them was, listen, it is every one of the leader's responsibility to deal with digital transformation. You're not supposed to ask your digital transformation leader what the plan is for them. What you're supposed to say is, here's my plan for digital transformation. And whoever's in charge of digital transformation, can you help me? Can you help me bridge this gap a little faster than I'm doing it on my own? So, and I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to have a groundswell of digital transformation, leadership changes throughout the entire organization.
Yeah. So yesterday we're recording this on Friday. So on Thursday of this week, Roald Van Wyk, who is the creative director of Accenture Interactive, was doing a presentation on sort of refreshing the digital shelf. And he had kind of the latest cartoon from Marketoonist, I think it's called, of the executive sitting in a, you can see through the window of a building into a meeting room where they're like, oh no, digital is still a ways off. We don't have to worry about that. And this time it's a wrecking ball that says COVID-19 on it.
And just swinging towards it. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's been a bunch of those, which,
accurate.
Both funny and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
There's no question that change is coming. No, and I think one of the, another signal that we saw recently is in terms of agility and responding to this time, Amazon Business, I saw, just stood up a COVID-only store.
Yeah, Amazon Business, right? Not just Amazon.com, Amazon Business. I think this really speaks to that. Like, if you have the foundation, of a digital experience already in place, it allows you to be creative, right? So Amazon Business sees this coming, creates a curated healthcare sanitation store for their customers. So you can go on there and buy just COVID-19 type supplies. I'm looking at the site right now and they have products like protective apparel, infection prevention, respiratory, telehealth. That last category is interesting. And inside of telehealth, they have a bunch of these voice over IP phones to enable telehealth and video chat with their customers. So Amazon Business then can create this very kind of highly curated experience just with products that are appropriate for this time. But you can't do that unless you have that foundation. I mean, they had the foundation to be able to do that quickly. They mobilized that within a very, very short period of time, I think about 14 days.
Yeah, Jay Walker Smith, who's the chief knowledge officer at Kantar Research, did a video for us about signaling the recovery. And there's like great new data that he's got on sort of on what's been going on, but also looking back at past disruptions. If you sort of take the cause of it out and you are able to look back at past economic disruptions, what does it take for companies to signal to their buyers and consumers that it's okay to spend? And he ends with a conclusion, which is that we're going to have to make our buyers and consumers feel safe. Mm. And that's feeling safe to be in a store or feel safe to receive things or that things are going to be okay. It's a really fascinating thing. So just a quick log roll plug. On Tuesday, it'll be available at digitalshelfsummit.salsify.com. But I think particularly for distributors, and B2B businesses and industrials where, as you said, it's always been kind of go get the donut and pick up your stuff. How do we say that that's going to be safe? And as a brand leaning into and being transparent about what you are doing to make that safe for your buyers, I think is going to be a really, really interesting thing for people to think about positioning out to their customers.
Well, and safety is such a, safety is different for every person too. So you really have to take that to heart, Peter. That's a great way of looking at that. You have to take that at heart and really understand how will our employees, how will our partners, how will our customers feel safe in this time? What does that even mean in this industry?
Great data that shows that that the brands do have the power to help spark a recovery. And so definitely. And, you can sign up if you want the notice when it goes up. There's an email sign up and we'll make sure you get notified, but it'll be available tomorrow and definitely worth a watch. Justin, go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about, along with safety, I think one of the interesting parts of the B2B business that's actually seen significant increases is on the B2B kind of medical device distribution. We're seeing lots of growth. Another article from Digital Commerce 360, Part Source is I believe they're out of Cleveland, Ohio. They're primarily an online technology-based healthcare services company. And they've seen 30 to 50% growth in the number of orders, 1,000% increase in respiratory equipment, 400% increase in patient monitoring and infusion pumps. So while many companies are struggling from work from home, companies like PartSource that have already kind of been digitally enabled, they have 90% of their orders processed digitally. They were used to these types of environments. They were able to, the transformation, they've already been in the midst of digital transformation being online only, and they're able to really react to this very quickly. They're able to really concentrate on the supply chains to make sure they had the right products. And so I think, we've kind of talked, there's been some negative things obviously that have affected. We have some bright spots in residential, but there's lots of areas and kind of retooling where companies have said, let's pivot and show some of these products. Going back to Amazon, they were able to take, a small group of products and just create a highly curated store. So there's definitely lots of areas of bright spots in the middle of this.
And maybe a great place to close, because we've sort of seen what's happening out there. You've been spending a ton of your time doing nothing but talking to this sector about what's happening on all sides of the equation. So think of me as one of those brand manufacturers or distributors who's coming to you and saying, all right, Justin, What do I do, right now and over the next?
What's the first step?
Yeah. What are the first steps?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most appropriate question. So if you're looking at digital transformation and how do we accelerate this significantly from our 3 to 5 year plan to a 5 to 6 months, I've watched three different companies recently that I've gotten to know, one distributor, two manufacturers. One core thing that they've all realized is that the product information and expertise was in the heads of their baby boomers. So they realized this was 6 months ago or 12 months ago, they realized all of our expertise about our products is in the heads of baby boomers. Now, that was scary then, but it's even more scary today as the baby boomer population they're at most risk, right? So you have all of the information, all the expertise in the heads of baby boomers that are now at risk. And the distributors and manufacturers also realize that what retail did was better than B2B because they looked at their product content and they realized that it's the center of a good experience. So if people are going to buy this, as we call it, the digital shelf, that the content better be good and we better control that content, meaning product content actually increases conversion or decreases conversion on a website. And that's kind of the foundational premise. In addition, when you look at work from home, so much of the interactions inside of a manufacturer distributor are like, hey, if I have a question about that, I'll go ask Bob, right? Bob knows it. Bob's a baby boomer. That, I mean, he's amazing. He's got all this expertise. However, now everybody's working from home. Access to Bob is now limited. And so companies have realized, listen, the very first step, and I'm going to give you one step, is that you've got to digitize your product information and the expertise around that product information. That doesn't cost any money. That's just effort. Like, that's just you working within your teams to take the information out of the heads of your baby boomer experts and digitize it and put it in a place where people can access it, whether they're working from home, in the office, and then obviously the ability then to use that content in a bunch of other places is there.
At these companies, who are you seeing is being given the responsibility and the job of extracting that content?
So first of all, that's a role that can't be hired. It's got to be internal, right? Because someone that has some kind of political clout within the organization has to be able to go and lead this effort, right? So it can't be
where the bodies are buried.
They've got to, right? Because yeah. they've got to motivate the organization to respond to this to this effort. It's across the board. So one is a VP in marketing that I've seen, but that VP of marketing grew up in the company. So they were in sales and service. They know every part of the company. So they know every part of the product. So they're experts in the product themselves, but they know the people and they can extract the information from the people. Often it's there's product content leaders or PIM leaders, but they typically don't have the political clout. Most of the time I'm seeing it out of marketing, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but coming out of marketing is most of the time where that leadership comes from, Peter.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm sure it comes down to, it's interesting because product content is a combination of expertise and detail, but also positioning. You know, it is
storytelling, that's right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you're so right that the clout matters, the leadership matters in this case, and certainly to staff it and then make it urgent in the face of everything that's happening right now is leadership, and that's the success or failure of the organization as always. Right?
That's right. And with all of the work from home and all the private networks and people realizing all of our information about our products in our ERP, and it's bad there, by the way. But to get to our ERP, we have to use the VPN tunnel and log in. It takes time and it's slow and it's lagging. Imagine having that information at your fingertips that wasn't behind that firewall. That's what, when you look at these three companies, that's what they did. They digitized their product content. By the way, they didn't digitize it once. Like, they're digitizing their product content. Like, there is no such thing as good content. There's only content that's getting better, right? Which means it's got to be a program, not a project. That's my call to the distributors and manufacturers. If you want a place to start, digitize your product content. It's easy, it's simple. It doesn't take, doesn't cost a lot, but it does take effort.
Did you say it is easy?
Or no, it's not easy.
Okay.
It's simple. It's simple. It's not easy.
Straightforward. Yeah, but
it's straightforward. That's right.
Yeah. Cause I'm hearing everyone out there listening.
Not easy.
Simple. Well, with those sort of hopeful clarion calls to action, that's going to close out our episode. Justin, thank you as always, just bringing the truth of the B2B world to our listeners and giving us a positive direction to go is really appreciated. It's great to have you on as always.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And I just want to remind everyone, as I said earlier, the Digital Shell Virtual Summit rolls on. Definitely look at the site on Tuesday for that research from Kantar. We also, next Thursday, we'll have a live session with John Carroll, who used to be VP of e-commerce at Coke and now runs his own consulting firm on sort of for CPG, the new marketing platforms, new selling platforms that they can be using during these times. So lots going on. Digitalshelfsummit.salsify.com to make sure you get all that information. As always, if you enjoy the show, please leave a review wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate it. And thanks as always for being part of our community.